Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the McInerney Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Troubled water, none compares to my Jesus. He's been there through every crisis. can tell by the hand clap that we were not listening to the lyrics at all. What goes on up here are ministrations, not performances. So you need to listen to the words. How can I say thank you? And so I'm giving us another chance. Yeah. Ministration in church is not only when the man of God is delivering the word. Everything that happens here is a ministration. So let's invite upstage our sister Frida. Put your hands together for her.
I believe you can give a better hand clap unto Jesus this morning and add a shout of praise unto his holy name. Hallelujah! How many of us love the name of Jesus? This morning it's all about Jesus. Do you believe it? Or do you believe that this morning it's all about Jesus? Then come on, begin to speak in tongues. Say something to the Lord. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Bless his holy name. Come on. Hey. Let me see you clap like this.
Strong and mighty, your name is glorious and great. In him we are saved.
Come on,
the name of Jesus, higher than other name, King of all, no other name.
No other name, no.
tell you that the time that you've been waiting for is finally here. I know that you came to church expecting something, and I'm happy to tell you that the thing that you are expecting, God knows what you are expecting, and God is about to meet you at the point of your need. God has sent His word to you this morning, and for some of you, it's a word of healing. For some of you, it's a word of rebuke. For some of you, it's a word of encouragement. For some of you, it's a wake-up call. For some of you, it's a word of restoration. But whatever it is that you need, I'm happy to announce to you that God's word will not return to Him without accomplishing the purpose for which He has sent it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are as excited as I am this morning, I want you to make some noise. I want you to clap your hands and join me, and let's welcome to this pulpit the Bishop Edwin Morgan. Oh God, come on, make some noise.
So happy that you and I are in church together this morning.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
And I want you to know that God has done something very great. Wow. To have you in church today.
Amen.
You see that the doors are open. But it's not easy to enter a church.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's not easy to enter a church. Even the air-conditioned churches, the doors are open.
Yes. Wow.
If God hasn't selected you to come close to Him,
oh, Jesus,
you will find your way.
Beautiful. What a blessing. What a blessing.
We are here because God has chosen us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And selected us.
Yes.
You are not here because you love Jesus.
Wow.
Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me.
Okay.
Draws him.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the drawing, Lord.
I'm just saying this to say that if you find yourself, look at yourself, everyone look at yourself and see the tiles on the floor. Hey, you are standing in church. Clap your hands, it's church.
Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Wow.
You could have easily been standing at the Omutuo bar.
Hey.
Omutuo, Bishop Cummings has given the right context. Omutuo with abenkwine.
Hey.
With kidney beans.
Hey. What a combination.
Some of you girls, you
pretty little things.
Oh, come on, come on.
You'd have been standing in a boy's room.
Hey, hey, hey.
Ah. You are about to start looking for your panties.
Hey.
When you find it, realize that it is torn.
Hey.
Yes. I shouldn't say these things as a pastor.
Hey. Come on.
So if you find yourself completely dressed in shoes, in church,
yes,
and you are not clapping your hands, then you are not well. You are not well.
Yeah. Oh yes. Come on.
You are not well.
Oh yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Many, many years ago on Sunday morning. Yes, this is about the time I'll be waking up. With all types of feelings and hangovers.
Hey, not good.
And I'll be looking for the next thing to take and go and sell for club tonight. That was my life. Look at me today standing in church.
Oh. Ah, thank you, Jesus. What a blessing.
But our problem is that we don't appreciate things. We don't appreciate things. What you are doing to God is just an extension of your normal ingratitude self. Your ungrateful self. Your attitude of ingratitude. You've done it to your school teacher, your mother, your father, your boss. You have brought it to church. And you see, it will land you somewhere. Yeah. Because anything you don't value diminishes in value. Anything. The value of anything is the value you uphold. When you lose the value of something, its value attenuates in your hand. It attenuates in your hand. Anything that is valuable in your life now, I don't know whether it's your shoes or your husband or your hairstyle or your car. Anything that is of value to you now, it's of value because you chose to make it valuable. You gave it value. And I'm saying that it is in your own interest. It is in your own interest to value God, to value the church, the tiles you are standing on. The church I've just come from, there are no tiles on the floor. There are no tiles. You have tiles on your floor. Learn to appreciate things. Thank God. Yesterday somebody was singing and he said, you must thank God that you can swallow your saliva. I said, what is this? Swallowing saliva, it's a big sign. In the hospital, we use it to test many things. To swallow saliva, it's more than $1 billion. In fact, you can't put money to it. Hey, swallow saliva. Hey, you must bring an offering right now. Value it. I've just made a case to you that God, somehow, I don't know why, he finds us special. That's why he calls us to come close to him. And anytime you move towards something, it means you are moving away from something. So as you've come here, value this place so that its value will be so great that you are not ready to drop it. The things you drop are things which are not of value to you. Let this place be so valuable. That you are ready to bestow your greatest goods here. Your time, your energy. Many of you, the only thing you bestow to this place is money. And not even your best money. Something you just throw at God. But this place has never enjoyed your time, your energy, your effort, your skill, your passion, your mind. Never. What we are enjoying today, I came and met a sister singing. What we are enjoying is a result of just a few people. This is their effort that all of us have come to enjoy. Just, there are no more than 10. Up to this, by the time the service ends, whatever you've enjoyed will be a product of the effort of 9 or 8 individuals. Most 99% of you here have no intention of bestowing your goods to this place. But what you don't know is that it doesn't affect God. It's your life that is affected. If everyone for this morning service had begun preparing on Wednesday for this morning service, calling your friends, gathering your members, waiting, you couldn't wait for Basenta meeting on Thursday to go there and announce Sunday service that we are all going. You've had some prayer meetings, some prayer people have prayed around the clock on Saturday. The choirs were in church Saturday afternoon rehearsing. All the choirs, the choir members, all of you were here yesterday afternoon for Sunday. I mean, if the choir was not in this building yesterday from 12 noon to 4 with instrumentalists who are sensible, not instrumentalists who will saunter in at 5 p.m. But we are preparing. I mean, all our lives we live to prepare for Sunday. We are here. You see choristers in their jeans and their t-shirts and their blouses. They brought their food. They are eating, rehearsing. By 4, they have polished the song. They spend 20 minutes to pray. Then they go home. On their way, they are calling their friend. This is what we should do with our lives and our time. This is how the Christian life, this is how we live our Christian lives. That's how I'm standing here. I got born again 40 years ago. I'm still here. That's how to be in. You put your energy, your heart, your time, your effort, your excitement. That, like some of you should be in this service very depressed and not happy. No matter how you are wound up, you are not happy because the chairs are empty. Because you remember you spent a long time praying last night. No, nothing. Over 90% of you have done nothing towards the service we are having this morning. And that is a sure word from me to you, that you will gain nothing from the service. It's an activity in futility. You should not have come to church. Anybody who says I'm lying, raise your hand and come, I'll give you the microphone. Tell me what you did yesterday to prepare for today's service. Even Basenta leaders, pastors in your yellow, what have you done for the service today? What preparation have you put into the service today? And you are surprised that it is a mediocre, humdrum, lackluster atmosphere you are enjoying. Look at the chairs behind you. Pastors, what have you done to prepare for this service? What did you do yesterday to prepare for today? No, I'm not. Don't give me rhetorical responses. What did you do to prepare for today's service?
Nothing.
How? Mommy, let me ask you a Sunday. What have you done to prepare for this service? This service. What have you done? What have you done? You are no different from an apostolic church member who has come to visit us today. Have you put in prayer for this service? Did you put in prayer yesterday? Did you invite anybody? Have you made calls? Who do you even care for in the church? What do you do in the church? What do you do? This is your church. What do you do in the church? And the Bible says that, be careful. God is not mocked. You can't mock God. You can mock me. You can mock him. But God is not mocked. It can be that God is mocked. And how do you know that God is not mocked? Anything you are doing, thinking you are mocking God, is actually what you are sowing to reap. But Jesus Christ said, a wicked and adulterous generation seek a sign. But no sign will be given you except the sign of Jonas. Yeah. What God has done for you. What God has done for you. You just walk into a church and sit down without any zeal, any energy. Hey! Sometimes it pains me that you met me as a full-time pastor. It's not in your interest. It's not a good thing that you met me in this state. Now, like children who meet their fathers when they have cars. You should have met me when I was a doctor. A radiologist in the teaching hospital, teaching postgraduate students, writing exams. You should have met me at that time. You would have known that then, when you put yourself by me, you are a midget. Anybody sitting in this service, expecting something from this service, you are either, I don't want to use the English words in public. If you are sitting here, expecting something from today's service. I mean, that is, I'm explaining to you why you've been attending church for the past 7 years, 10 years, but you are still struggling with pornography. You can't lift a finger to do it. You are always in church. Because nobody, the Bible says that you must not muzzle the mouth of the ox that plows the ground. Nobody is allowed to eat from a place you have not worked. It is against God's law. So you see that you've been attending church for 10 years, but you are the same. Because what must change you? You'd make no investment into it. Some of you are sitting here with things God has done for you. Miracle job, miracle marriage, your healing, your deliverance from death, the accident. God did all these things so that he can get your attention to the people he worked miracles for. He had to convince them to go back home. The people he worked miracles for, they were so much into him and wanted to follow him so much, he had to sit them down and say, return, go to the Decapolis. It just makes sense that based on the fact that you were a naked madman cutting yourselves with stones, then you meet somebody who changes your life, that now you are sitting down in your right mind wearing a shirt and trousers. It makes sense that you want to go anywhere with this man. But not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. You eat the miracle, you enjoy the blessing, and you wipe your mouth. The only thing you will see you doing in the church is what benefits you. It's only when you are the one, when the spotlight is on you, then we see you doing something. Once the spotlight is not on you, never. Show me what we are doing right here. Is it the keyboard? Keyboardist who is playing, or the video guy? Everything being contributed here, the highest I'll give it is 3.5 over 10. Look, today I finished preaching. I made an altar call. It's iconic. People came forward. Some 8 boys, little children, young boys, forward. Then we have people who take care of the converts, pastors. It's a school. So they take them to the school and they sit them down and they teach them before they visit them at home and so on. The lady pastor who came today, I'm just from church, who came to receive the converts, she was standing there with a sign. A sign which should read, "Follow me." Like, follow me to the hall or to the room or to the tree. Follow me. Can you believe it? The sign she was holding was School of the Word. Oh, Bishop Kobe, you may think I've made up a story to tell you. You may think. She didn't check what she was holding. Most of these guys who come to sing, they don't check what. It's just natural. They are carnal singers. These people, carnal. Even that they will spend time to pray about the song. I'm going to sing a song. I'm praying that the song will minister. Kai. They are rather chasing girls. They are worse than unbelievers. Any singer you see on the stage is an unbeliever. We have one here. Follow me. What she was holding was School of the Word. I'm so sad. I should have asked the photographer to take a picture. Because it's iconic. It's emblematic. It's a motif of the ambivalence and the disconnection and the disinterest and the wickedness in our hearts towards God. The one who makes it possible for you to swallow saliva. You won't even check what is on it. Oh no, just go and grab something. And you can tell where the converts are going to be led to. Straight out of church. I think that you guys are cursing the day you decided to come to church today. I mean, you wonder, God has blessed this church with a proper pastor. Why he allows an angry man who is in his period to come and just talk nonsense to a church. So let's clap our hands and receive our pastor to minister the word of God to us. I'm in my period. I'm irritable. I'm in my period. And you watch. You watch yourself. Anything God has done for you that you are paying him back with what you are doing, he will reverse it. Read your Bible carefully. He forgave a man who owed tens of thousands of debt. He forgave him. But when he looked at the man's behavior, he reinstituted the problem. So, take him out. He was to be taken out. And I said no. But I heard that he was behind the house holding somebody who owed him 1,000. Reactivate it. Look at the church we are in. Look at the church. Look at the chairs, the sound, the lights, the stage, the ambience. This should be enough for any grateful Christian to say, wow, if God has done this for me, then let me also feel it. Let me prepare the choir to sing well in it. That if God has done this for me, I don't know why God would put me in a church like this. I don't know why God would give me a pastor, a good pastor like Bishop Kobe. If God has done this for me, then it's reasonable. I'm saying that the madman of Gadara, when he found that he was wearing a shirt, he said, no. Me. I'm normal now. Whoever made me normal, he must have me. He must have me. Look at what I'm saying. And he has gone to put Mark 5:2. Because the person doing it is disconnected from what is happening here. I've said the mother of Gadara, and he said, when he was coming out of the shape, immediately they met him out of the tombs. It's like I'm speaking Japanese and you are translating in tree. He's lost. They can't find that because he doesn't read the Bible. The Bible he's using, he doesn't read it. I'm saying that the disconnection, say disconnection. Disconnection. You see it in pastors. You see it in singers. You see it. There was no video. I needed a picture. Maybe I should let somebody act it out for it because it happened. It happened today. School of the word. So when I pointed it out, then she went and changed to follow me. And it is. It represents today's Christian worker. Look at dancing stars on the stage. Look at choir on the stage. Look at instrumentalists. It's because I've shouted that they are even sitting down. Normally, when they finish, they just go and walk about under the tree. When they hear that, poof, then they come and sit down. See that they are watching pornography, they are into unbeliever music, they are fornicating. There's not anything unrighteous. You can't find it there. What stops somebody who's a traffic warden wearing a vest directing traffic? What stops the person from having a bus center and bringing people to church? Who says that when you wear a vest, you can't teach the word of God? I think I'm preaching because today is the time of your maturity. Look at your children. Did you see your children this morning? You saw them. Are they not growing? Yeah. How many kids? 3, 2. Yes. They are wives with wedding rings like you. They don't have children. They are here. Even you with your fibroids, you're able to have a child. She doesn't have any fibroid. It's been 4.5 years. She has not even made. One wife told me that, Bishop, those days I was a pastor, he said, I wish I would be pregnant and miscarry. You don't understand what I've just said. Because miscarriage is something that makes a woman go mad, that you've taken seed and the baby has passed. A woman will go mad. I mean, it's a blow. Most are unable to recover. Some need months to recover. But this wife told me that I wish I could be pregnant and miscarry so that at least I will feel that I am a woman. That is why The Bible talks about Amaziah. That his response to God's kindness was not appropriate. The New Living Translation says he did not respond appropriately to the kindness, or is it the goodness or something? The kindness. He did not respond appropriately. The New Living Translation says he did not respond appropriately. There's what we call an appropriate response. That you could have been sitting here without a husband. You could have been sitting here without a child. And God gives you a child. God gives you a husband. God gives you health. In fact, the biggest miracle today actually is that we can swallow saliva. The Bible says that Amaziah did not respond. Have you found the scripture? The person sitting there does not have any love for God. I'm telling you. Find the verse for me. Let me read the Bible. God looks at your response. Some of you today, you are in SHS. Think of it. You didn't have anyone to pay your fees. Somebody just stepped in. The school you were attending, they gave you a scholarship. Today, you are in school. Where is it, please?
2 Chronicles 32:25.
I hope you also know where 2 Chronicles is. That's Hezekiah, yes. That's Hezekiah, not Amaziah. He was also another type of person. But this is Hezekiah, actually. 2 Chronicles 32:25. He was healed. And then they would say, oh, the computer is frozen. That's what they would say. It's frozen. 24. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. Deathly. That's an illness that makes you, that brings you close to death. Many of you should have died. You are alive. The one who caused you to be alive is the last person on your mind. Useless people are rather on your mind. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. If you feel that I'm disturbing you, you can get up and go to the toilet. Hezekiah became deathly ill. He prayed to the Lord, who healed him. He healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. He prayed and God healed him. Next verse. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him. I've written poems. Most of them were to my wife. A few to certain people of importance to me. I'm not reading one of my poems. Adam! Oh, sit down, please. It's up to you. I'm talking about responses. Responses. Your response. But rather, you know what we do? Even when the food is in our mouth and it's even coming out of our nostrils, we are still complaining about the water that cannot pass into the mouth. I mean, we are always concentrating on what we don't have, what we couldn't get. No matter what God does for you, your mind is like you wanted boys, girls, chairs, and shoes. God gives you boys, girls, shirts without shoes. Your mind, you don't see boys, girls, shirts. You only see shoes you don't have. It's a sign of the evil in a man. It's called ingratitude. And is there? Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him. And he became proud. Yes. As as I'm preaching now, there are people here who are puffed up. How can you talk like that to me? Some of you have decided that you will never come here again. It's pride. It puffs you up. Makes you proud. Makes you big. So the Lord's anger came against him. And what a sad is that. You are the one misbehaving. But most of the time, the judgment goes beyond you to people who have done nothing. Your children, your sister, your wife, your husband. Look at this. Somebody is misbehaving. But the anger of the Lord is extended to Judah and Jerusalem. People are, they are pounding their fufu with their 5 cedis cassava. They've done nothing. They've done nothing. But look at this. God is angry with them because of somebody. Yes. I mean, what God has done for you, you should have been in today. There should be 5 buses at the back. You have organized because you can organize. You can organize. You have organized 5 buses. We are trying to give you money to pay for the bus. I said, no. What God has done for me, no. I'll pay myself. Or I'll go and roam in town with my face and beg for money. Last week, a girl died. One of my girls. 26 years. 25 or 26. Went to the top school. Top school. Any top school you can think of. Any university. Graduate, university, top school. By 26, she was a prostitute. On drugs. Drugs killed her. Is your daughter on drugs? No. You should be the last person to be standing in church without organizing buses of people to come to church. She should be the last person. Last person. Ungrateful children. Ungrateful. As the food is in your mouth, you are rather looking at the Pepsi you don't have. Pepsi. What are we talking about? Are we having a church service? Is it a church? What's going on? Is it time for preaching? Is it a church service? I'm not sure what's going on. It's a church service. What God has done for me? Just say, I can't count the number of times I've sat on it and cried before going to preach. A lot of the preaching, you see, yeah, go back to the videos and look at my eyes well. I sit here, I cry, and I let Frida continue singing so I can arrange myself. You don't know what you've been through. Bishop Kobe was preaching on the times, appointed times of your life. On Saturdays, so I decided to do the same thing. See, when I finish, I just hand over the pulpit to him. I may not even finish the same. I talked to you about the time of your birth, the appointed times. Ezekiel 3:1 says there's a time for everything and a purpose. There's a season to everything. Everything has a season. Everything has a season. You see, I want to tell you, Reverend Akins, you don't know what God has done for you. The Lord says I should tell you. You know, I was going away and he said, go back and talk to him. You need to sit down. Not me. Just cast. Look at your children. And look at them carefully. What you are getting now is different from what could have been the case. But I'm getting a message that you are not aware of what your home could have been. You know something, a very, very, very spiritual man. But we all know in part. So I'm also waiting for you to also tell me what I also don't know. We sharpen ourselves. Nobody is a big man anyway. It's just my turn. I have the microphone. That's what I'm saying. We need to sit with your wife. Because, and if your children will even show mercy on you, because you don't know everything. If your daughter tells you her life, you remove your clothes and walk about and greet everybody you meet for 5 hours and come back and wear your clothes. So what you have now, you think that is it. What you don't know is that it is actually a garnished version. A gift God gave you. Because he saw your faithfulness and your love, even for me. He rewards it by distancing you from some problems. Like me, I am fully, acutely aware of what my options would have been for every single child. I tell you my story. My daughter, my son, I say my stories. But you are not acutely aware. Sorry for, oh, please sit down. Let's clap for Bishop Kobe to take us through. You know, let him, please. You are preaching it on Saturday. Yes, clap. So you won't preach? So I talked about the time. So everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose. So what happens is that when a time comes to do something and you don't do it, you can do the same thing. We are all Ghanaians. We were here when we heard of the, is it 92 or 85 year old man in the north who finished SHS? Some old man. It was a national 90 something. I mean, that shows the greatness of that man. But it's also unfortunate. Because it means that if you are finishing JHS, say, if at 92 you are doing SHS, what does it mean? 92 a day. It means that what SHS should have done for your life, all those things, you've lost them. Because activity A is for season A. Activity B is for season B. Activity C is for season C. So if you do activity A during season C, you have created confusion that follows you for the rest of your life. Young boys and girls, this is the time to go to school. Isn't the time? No matter the edges and the surges in your body, this is the time to have a beloved. 17 years, you are following a boy because you have feelings for him. No. Those who have beloved are those who are around 22. That's the season. That's also important. Because 22 beloved means that 25 marriage, that's the season. You don't marry after 30. After 30, there's no proper man. The correct man, you get them before 30 years. Any man you meet after 30 years has a defect. It's a defective product. Let's come for Bishop. Please. To marry. When you are in your 20s, 24, you should be worried that you don't, 24 year old male, final year school, or you have finished school, so second year university, 24 years, you don't have a beloved, there's no girl you're about to marry. It's not on your mind. You are not on God's mind. Should disturb you. Anybody here who has finished school and cannot point to better as the girl I'm marrying in 3 years' time at age 28, you're not a normal person. You're not normal. You're not normal. And they think I'm joking. Any girl younger than 30 years that somebody has proposed his love to you, an intention to marry you, and you took the text message to your friends to laugh at him, you've not calculated what is ahead of you. There is a time for everything. In 9.5 out of 10 cases, and I'm careful not to say 10/10, 9.5 out of 10 cases, the rightness or wrongness of something is not really in the activity, but when it is being done. 9.5 out of 10. And it's something every Christian must have in him. Everyone. The time. You don't have it, it means you are not a child of God. Because the 12 tribes of Israel represented, they were a shadow of the child of God. In that child should be Levites. In you should be a helper in the church. In you should be a priest. In you should be a hunter. In you should be a fighter. And in you should be the ability to discern the times. There's a tribe of Issachar. They understood the times and the seasons. Anybody under the sound of my voice who can't discern time cannot call himself a child of God. It's time for you to marry. for me to marry. It's time for me to take this course. It's time for me to break up with this girl. It's time for me to respond well to this boy's friendship. It's time for me to be clear that you are the one I want to marry and stop this rigmarole. Anyone online under the sound of my voice who doesn't have the ability to discern that it's time to stop preaching. It's time to make this point. It's time to start the series. The timings. Life is about timings. I was saying something. You know, your pastor doesn't love you. He should be preaching. He should be preaching. He still insists I should preach. You'll be suffering in 30 years' time. And the reason is that you just did things at the wrong time. I'm a pastor today. And I have a chance to preach the word of God this morning. I don't use red pen and blue pen to read my Bible. I just lie in my bed and I read. But there was a time.
Time.
Say time.
Time.
When I say there was a time, say time, time.
Time, time.
There was a time.
Time, time.
As a 17-year-old boy, I fasted twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Chloe fasting. And I will lie on the floor in my father's house with a broken ruler long enough to fit my Bible. By the way, the Bible was a Bible I had bought myself. If you are sitting here and you claim to have known God for more than 6 months and you have not bought your Bible, your first, like we had my first copybook. I don't know whether it's still in the system. You are a teacher. My first copybook. Anybody here who doesn't have my first Bible I have bought, an evil is coming for you. An evil will come for you. I bought my first Bible, but that's not the point I was making. I will lie in my father's room, my house, my room, my father's house, and be underlining verses. I was 17. I underline some. I don't even know which ones were read, but I just like to see the colors for the emphasis. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. It is because of what I did 38 years ago. That makes me stand here without a Bible in my hand. And I'm preaching the verses to you. This is not the time to be underlining things. Anybody listening to me? 17, 16, 21, 20. You don't read your Bible. You don't have a Bible. You don't even read the Bible. You don't underline verses. You don't memorize verses. You have mortgaged your destiny for pleasures today. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. This is the time to go to war. This is the time to call on God. This is the time to fast. To know what Israel ought to do. You see the point? So Israel is the child of God. And in Israel, in every child of God, ought to be 12 types of behaviors. There should be a behavior to be helpful in the church. That's the Levites, sons of Levi. Church work. There should be a behavior to farm. Every tribe had what it did. Now, one of them was a behavior to understand the time. This is the time as a young girl, I should read my Bible. This is my time. So it is, everybody must have an Issachar tribe in him. If you don't have it, you are not Israel. You are not a child of God. You are not. A sign that you are a child of God is that there is something in you that tells you the time. How many of you have set the alarm to wake up at 4 o'clock and then you woke up at 3:59, just before 4? Well, it happens to me most of the time. There's something in you. If you want to know time, then the most iconic work of God that tells you the time is a woman. A woman is a ticking clock. There's nothing more beautiful on earth than a woman. There's nothing as beautiful on earth as a woman. That's a clock standing there. Exactly at the right time, things change and things happen. Then, in the middle of the car, then exactly in the middle, then some things happen. The men, they are just walking about with their legs. But a woman, that's a clock right there. Beautiful clock. Stand up and clap for women. When you see a woman, you've seen a wonder of God. Time. They are timekeepers. More powerful than a Swiss chronograph. Ladies and gentlemen, every believer must have a woman in him. Every Christian must have the woman, a woman in him. A ticking time. Stop this. Don't do this. This time, that thing you just felt this morning, it's a sign that you shouldn't go near that boy. You can visit him next week. But this week, don't go near that boy. Every man, every woman must have a woman in her. Every man must have a woman in him. There is something, there is an Issachar you need. If you don't have that Issachar spirit, you can't call yourself a child of God. Because life is too complex for you to use events. It says you can tell the sky. When the sky is alluring, you know that it is time for this. When the sky is dark, you can tell it's about to rain. When it is hazy, you can tell that. But you can't tell the times you are in. I don't know what I'm preaching about. Because nobody can blame me because I actually offered that your pastor should preach. And he is the one who has inflicted me on you. So if there's any problem, blame him. Blame him. Go away. Clap for women again. Before you sit down, I believe in God as a God who hears prayer. Just before you sit down, lift your hands and pray that God should put the Issachar spirit in you. Issachar spirit in you for your children, for your life, for your health, for your business, to know what to do. It is because of the Issachars that Israel knew what to do.
Help us, Lord. We pray, oh God, for the Issachar spirit to understand the times and season, oh God.
Young girl, pray it from your chest. Pray it from your chest. Because if you miss season A, I tell you,
oh God, to understand the times and seasons. Pray. Legedebe mindiva kataba leketo shapanima legedebe sadaba mi indaboshe legedebe likatonima lepapayaba shekatonima.
Father, we thank you.
Yekato shilabaha.
In Jesus' name.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You may please be seated, please. With all due respect. And let's end the service. So I taught you about the time of your birth, the time of your death. Last week I preached about the time of your salvation. And I told you that you will know you are saved. There's only one sign that you are saved. And it's not breaking up with your boyfriend. Wake up. There are many reasons why a girl will break up with her boyfriend. Even if you are just sensible, you know, that this boy, where he has gone, is going to where he's bringing you. Stopping smoking is not a sign that you are saved. See, let me help you. Students eat garri and tuna and shit up. I mean, students in boarding school eat garri, tuna, sardine, and shit up. It doesn't mean that if you eat garri and tuna and shit up, you are a student. So when somebody is born again, she breaks up with her boyfriend. It's good. But breaking up with your boyfriend doesn't mean you are born again. When somebody is born again, he moves away from unbeliever friends. But coming out of worldly friendships does not mean are born again. What makes you a student is that your name is in the headmaster's office. You've paid your school fees and you wear khaki shorts. There is one sign. I'm talking about the time of your salvation. I'm just reminding you. Attending church is not a sign that you are saved. Stopping smoking, singing in the choir. The only sign that you are saved. And if that time has not come, you better make sure that time has come. Because the events of the hereafter are predicated on your salvation. Your salvation is what creates the platform for every other thing that will happen in your life. So make sure you are saved. That's why I'm giving you the sure sign that you are saved. And that sign is reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything is new. Then the next verse explains what goes into the newness of a Christian. All things are of God, who has reconciled us. You remember, born again, you were a prostitute, you are now a child of God. You were a sinner, you are now a saint. You are an unbeliever, you now believe in Jesus. That is, reconciled us to himself. I've been reconciled. She has been reconciled. He has been reconciled. How do we know that she has been reconciled? See, we know it by this, that as soon as you are reconciled, the next thing that happens is that you are given the ministry of reconciliation. Anybody who doesn't have that ministry has not. This is class 2 logic. Anybody who doesn't have that ministry cannot say that he has been reconciled to God. Anybody who is reconciled to God is given that ministry of reconciliation. Verse number 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So when he reconciles you, he puts a word in your mouth. Anyone who is not a practitioner of reconciliation, you don't save souls, you sing, you play the keyboard, you take pictures. Look at him. He has raised the camera and take the picture. Raise the camera. Raise this and take the picture. Yes. Take a good shot. Good. This boy standing here could well be an unbeliever. A lot of you here are unbelievers. Active in church doesn't mean you are a Christian. Feeling you are a Christian doesn't mean you are a Christian. True Christians, you know them. So Paul says in verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. If you are here and saving souls, you think that it's a lighthouse preaching. I want to say to you, know it, that the chances that you are not born again, and therefore if you die, you are going straight to hell, are very high. Prove you are saved by beginning your ambassadorial role. Who have you reconciled to God? Do you even care? Being a strong member of a church doesn't mean you are born again. Hell has been stoked in preparation for you. The embers of hell have been stoked in preparation for you. You will say, I don't care, but a day will come, you will care. And their works do follow them. Because it's not a small thing to be saved. any born again Christian and in our church we express soul winning. The church has created a platform for every Christian to express the life of winning of souls. And the platform is the Basenta platform. For everyone to be a part of. And that is the very thing. You see, anybody sitting here who is not active in a Basenta is not a spiritual person. No matter what you are doing in church. Playing the keyboard doesn't. You see, I'll tell you, mommy. You see that brother playing the keyboard? I will tell you what he should be doing. Because you see, what he is doing requires his mind. Or you are a keyboardist. Do you need a mind to play what he's doing? Or your fingers just move. Say, no, I don't play the keyboard. Please explain to me. It's not loud. It's not. It doesn't look like he's doing something. He's just calmly. He's even looking at me. He's even smiling. It means he can hear me.
He will not hear. Even,
please say it well.
He will not hear even half of what I am hearing in the preaching. Just concentrate on that than the keyboard.
Really?
Oh yes.
These somber tunes. Is it true that your mind must be on what you are doing? To an extent.
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes, please, it's true.
Explain how your mind has to be on it. Because you are doing it effortlessly. We are even talking and you are playing. Yes. So why should your mind be on it?
I'll have to make sure I'm not so loud. Okay. I also have to make sure I'm pressing the right things. I have to make sure what I'm playing is.
Sorry.
His foot is on a sustain pedal. Even the use of the pedal requires his concentration.
I didn't know that. Clap your hand for the pastor. He plays keyboard, bass guitar, drums, guitar, lead guitar. He sings. He's a musician.
Look at the video, guy. See how he's looking at the picture.
He's concentrating. His mind is on it. You can see.
In his ear as he's standing there talking to him from upstairs.
I want to carry this man away. There's what?
Sometimes today is not there. Sometimes he has an earpiece. Look at his left ear. He has an earpiece. He will be standing there talking to him.
What are you talking about?
There's an earpiece in his ear.
What am I saying? So he is here. He's in the service. But what is going on here? It's not affecting him. Because for this service to go on well, we need him to work. We need him to work. So you will know that he is spiritual if after the service, he takes the message and sits down on his own, that I am now. I remember my grandmother. I didn't live too long with my mother. My grandmother, she cooks and serves us and makes sure we've all eaten. And we have used our tongues to clean the aluminium. And we bring our bowls to the sink. Then as we are playing around, we see her sitting down and she is now eating. Because you can't eat when you are serving food. If this young man has never in his life sat down after a church service on the basis of a commitment that, or a conviction that I did not hear, the sound men stand there, if they are really working well, should not be enjoying the message. Even as I move up and down, they should be tuning the sound so that there's no feedback. There's a lady switching there. There's somebody projecting verses. You can't hear the message. So the spiritual ones, that's why I know that they are not spiritual. I will put my head on it that they are not. There is not even one of them standing there who closes a church service and goes back. Even they are the ones recording. He comes with a pen drive. As soon as the service is ended, going home. He starts in the car. Anybody who waits for podcasts is not spiritual. And they don't even listen to podcasts. There's nobody up here who listens to podcasts. How do I know? I know it. The people who listen to podcasts, they don't behave like that. So when I say that this person is nobody, if you go to a Chinese restaurant and they are serving, you won't see the waiters eating as he's brought the food. You want what?
Shrimps?
Golden fries? Spare ribs. As I say, beef, and the food has beef. No. They eat after they have served everybody. That is how they live their life. You see, they are alive to serve. Most of these guys are not alive. A lot of them are not even alive spiritually. They are dead spiritually. Because it's called arts. A lot of these things, they are just chaos. You don't need to pray to do sound. You don't need to pray to do video. This man standing hasn't prayed. This guy has not prayed for 1 hour for the past 6 months. Hey, sir, when was the last time you prayed for 1 hour? On your own, alone. When? I'm asking, stop it. When was the last time you prayed for 1 hour? On your own. He doesn't remember. I'm not joking. If this guy playing the keyboard doesn't have a pen drive to pick the message to take it home and listen as his service, because somebody must serve. Your grandmother must feed you. Your mother must feed you. And nobody, as you are feeding, you are eating. That's why the most carnal members of the church are instrumentalists, sound guys. I mean, now we don't even use cables. You'd have seen them moving around, checking cables like rats. You said someone that's moved. Okay, I'll stop the preaching. Since, I'm sorry. I'm really very sorry, please. I'm very sorry. I want to apologize to all of you. I have a church somewhere. I'll stay in my church. No. Why?
You are healing us.
Why? I have my church. Let me go and stay in my church. You have your pastor.
We love this church. This is the right message. We love this message.
Should I preach?
Yeah.
I'm preaching now. They are not spiritual. They don't pray. They are in the church every day. Every Sunday, they are in the church. That's why even now, we let the dancing stars dance after. Because when they dance before, they are tired. They already are not praying. They are already masturbating. They are already watching pornography. Then the small church, they've come to hear a word also. They have to dance and be tired. The message I preached last Sunday in this church, I preached it. Anybody who has listened to it should come down and take the microphone from my hand. Come down. I'm waiting for you. I'm here. Come. You are the weakest link in the church. And when I look at your life, I'm not surprised that you are the way you are. There is a time of your salvation. Many of you sitting here think you are born again. Till you've won your first soul and you are interested in talking to your friends about Jesus, about God. But how can you talk to somebody about Jesus when you don't even read your Bible? You don't know a verse. How can you talk about which Jesus? He's not in you. It's called a witness. You should have experienced him before you can say something about him. Otherwise, you are a false witness. So most of the people sitting around here are not born again. They've been in those of you who are even born, like my children, the children of Pastor Akins, Bishop Kobe's children, all you know is church. All you know is church. You don't know nightclub. You don't know pool party. You don't know beach party. So you are just, you are a bishop's daughter. You've just learned jargons in the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Akariababa. Akariababa. But you may not be born again. I'm preaching to you, my darling girl. That's what Paul says in Romans 10. Verse 1. Is it 10? Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Philistines, for the Amalekites, for the Hittites. For who? For Israel. You can be an Israelite, but you are not saved. That my prayer, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Being an Israelite. And how do we know? Next verse, look at it. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. A zeal to come to church. A zeal to sing for God. A zeal to do to arrange church. Ashes. Ashes are Rastafarians in the church. But not according to knowledge. They don't know God. Anybody sitting here who has managed to convince himself that he is born again and you don't win souls, you are under a strong delusion. Strong delusion. And if you are here winning souls to populate another ministry, another church, then your wickedness, the reward hasn't been created. The time I'm talking about today, and I've preached for more than 1 hour on a title I've not given the name to you. And the name, as I'm ending now, is called maturity. There's a time you should be mature. When a baby is being born, it's not the same as being mature. You are born, you are a human being, but you are not mature. There's a time when a baby has to recognize the mother's face. 6 weeks, 4 weeks. A baby should be able to smile. Social smile. Weeks. We call them milestones. No woman here. It's amazing, eh? How wicked you are. When you give birth, you are expecting things to happen at certain times. I'm surprised that you have cared for new converts. There's no expectation in you for new converts to be in Basenta at this time, to be preaching at this time. Can you imagine Nicole wasn't working? But you don't seem to care that Mabna isn't working. It doesn't seem to me. I have to rather make a Google form for you to fill. You don't seem to understand that preaching. Do you speak English? You speak English? Or should you do tree?
No.
English is good. We seem to know milestones. Don't you have children? How would it have been like for you if you are not giving birth? How many years have you been married? 16 years. Are you aware there are people who have been married for 20 years without children? Imagine that you've not given birth after 16 years. Don't you expect a woman who has been married for 4 years to have a child? Are you not married to Jesus? Where are your children? How you doing, baby? Beautiful girl. Nice. And me fire Musa. I expect many of you, the leaders of the church, to write letters to prophets. That you don't like a certain pastor here. I expect protest letters. That he will call me and say, Dr. Ogo, come. I'm hearing some things about your about that. Bishop Kobe said, they said they don't want you there. But haven't you left? I'm saying that when you check and you remember that you gave birth to this baby 6 months ago, you are worried that she doesn't smile back at you. How come it doesn't occur to you about the child of God? God doesn't concern you. Wow. 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 I've prayed already. The time of your maturity. Yeah. Mature. Mature and start winning souls to show you are a Christian. Hebrews 5 and 12 says there's a time for when, for the time you ought to be teachers. You have need. You will never go up there and find one of, even one of them who is a teacher in a Basenta. Not one. Those people sitting behind the computer, they are somebody's children. He has sent them. They don't belong there. Those two guys, they don't belong there. They are pastors. They are not the proper, what you call media. They are the ones there. There's not even one who was in a Basenta meeting last Thursday. But they've been around for years. Is there? For when? For the time. Say the time. There is a time. Everybody has to be a teacher. Not a singer. Not a percussionist. Not a lyricist. Not a switcher. Not a sound engineer. There is a time, Makafui, you should be a teacher. Are you you not a teacher in your school? Are you not a teacher? Yes. Because it gives you money also. You earn a salary. But this one is, you are rather spending your money. Beautiful. Dancing stars, there's a time you ought to be a teacher. What we use to judge your maturity is not the notes you can hit, Osam. It's not the notes you can hit. It's the souls you can hit with the word of God. Everybody must have a hit list. A hit list. Amen. Honey, what we use to determine whether somebody is mature is not the size, the bushy hair. You are majoring on nonsense. Nonsense. You are children. You are children. I pity you. When I was your age, I was... How old are you? 1-8? Is it 1? How many Bibles have you bought? With your personal money gone by. Personal Bible. None. But you have time to grow afro. And you will laugh. But I am not joking. When I was your age, I owned a Bible. I had the red pen. Do you fast twice a week? No. It's not everything a grown-up says. You look frightened. Why? Are you okay? You okay? Will you come here again?
It's a good text. Good word. Good message.
Yeah,
it's a good message.
Abeg, what? Listen, you missed the point. There's something. There's a phrase in English. You missed the point. Many of you upstairs, you've missed the point in walking with God. You've missed the point. There's a man standing here. You are there. Can you see the thing in his ear? Yes. He needs it to communicate with the woman who is switching. The thing. No, it's too close. So he's listening. He's not even listening to me. He's listening to somebody, but because he's standing in the church, he feels that he's listening. He has come to church. Never will he go home with a pen drive in his pocket. And you know what happens? Anybody who is unable to grow and mature, what happens is that anyone who can mature, no matter what is in store for you, you've handed it over to a stranger. Most of you guys who can mature, what you must have in life is being eaten by someone. Paul wrote to the Galatians, chapter 4. Look at it. Verse 1. Look at you. Watch what we are seeing. Now I say that the heir, that is the child of a millionaire, the heir, as long as he is a child, is not different from a servant, even though he is the Lord of all. You have no idea what your unwillingness to mature has cost you as you sit here. We are sitting here as potential demon casters, potential demon binders. Some of you are potential rich men. Some of you are potential owners of houses and farms. You are an heir. If indeed we are the seed of Abraham, then we have access to certain physical riches. But you've decided, for some strange reason I can't understand, that you will never mature. You will wear red and sing for the rest of your life. Anybody who even suggests that you should go, you should attend a Basenta meeting, you will curse him. I've been cursed. I'm sure since I began preaching, I've been insulted by at least 4 people in the service. But so the more you insult me, the more my face grows fatter, fresher. I need it to even be anointed. You see what you've made yourself? Watch my face. You will pay for it. Even though from the beginning God arranged a certain life. Is there? Can I have another translation? Maybe it's the English. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave. Although he's the owner, there are things that should have been in your life as a mature believer by now. But because you are dedicated to the life of being a child and not a mature son, I'm surprised that we use the scripture for Christmas. Isaiah 61, I think. So unto us a child is given. It's born. Unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is given. Many of you are not helpful. You're not helpful. You can't say you are helpful to the church. Isaiah 9. Give me King James. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. You don't want to be a son. That's why you've not been given to the church. We can't benefit from you. The real benefit this guy has to give to the church, it's not the video he's doing, is to win souls and bring the souls to church, because somebody's wife is one of his souls. For as long as he's like this, certain men here will have to go to Fulani to get wives. Fulani. This is my last verse. Then you will get rid of this nonsense pastor. For unto us a child is born. Then unto us a son is given. Which means that you must mature before you are given to be useful. Otherwise, you are just a baby born baby child who must be carried everywhere and massaged. You have to massage your ego. You have to let you feel that you are good. Thank you. Isabella, you sang well. Unto us. But you see, I'm about to read to you the benefits that come to you when you mature to be a son. A son who is giving. A son who is a blessing. Benefits. His name. And first of all, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Whenever you become responsible. Many of you are in the church. You came today because you want to come. If you get something better than this service, you go and you take it away. I see all of you. You are there. The boy in white. You are here because you feel like coming. If something happens, you don't come. The only normal person I can point to is the girl sitting behind there. The government. You're not responsible. I said, you are here because nothing has engaged you. And the government. You think we don't have things to pull us away from church? And the government. A son is someone on whose shoulder the governing of the church, governing of the bus center, governing of the lives of, oh, I preached the message today, baby girl. The government, the governing of three Christians. So, ask your neighbor, what is on your shoulder as you sit here? Ask her. Mabel, ask Adam, he's sitting on your left hand side. Ask him, what is on your shoulder? He's so relaxed, at ease in Zion, and Zion will ease you out. I bet you don't like me. You don't like me.
We need this.
I bet that many of you should be asking Bishop, when is the next crusade? When is Healing Jesus coming? You have sent a terrorist to harass us. When, Bishop Dagwood Mills, when is Healing Jesus? Give me back verse 9, chapter 9. And the government shall be on his shoulder. You think that you are fooling the church. You are depriving yourself of certain names. What are the names? And his name, the one on whom the government is on his shoulder, the one who has matured to be a son. That is the one whose name is changed from a Jimakla to Wonderful. You say you won't mature. You mature. You will be like a slave to passions and desires. You will never see a beautiful girl and be able to take your hands off her. You are a slave. As long as you are a child, you are a slave to habits. I was on hardcore porn till I was 16. Not these things we are seeing on the internet. These ones are for children. The porn we were on, if you see one image, it can destroy your soul. One image. Hard. But when we got born again, we paid the price to mature. To become sons. So we are not slaves anymore. You are a slave. You can't stop having sex with girls. When we catch you, you cry, but you go back. And his name. I'm saying that you think that you are depriving the church. You could do this. You won't do it. But really, the bishop, the way he's talking, he comes, he's just talking by heart and so on. Me, I should use my money to pass. Me. No, what you don't know is that these names will never be used to describe you. Never. You'll be average till you die. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. It's not only God who must be called Mighty. The same way Christ is not the only one called Savior. His wish is that you too will be called Mighty. Oh, I love that name. The Everlasting Father. That is, he joined the church 40 years ago. He's still in the church. Many of you can't last. You can't last. You start small, you just burn out. Everlasting Father is Everlasting Shepherd. Everlasting Pastor. 20 years ago, he was a pastor of a branch. He's still a pastor. He dies a pastor. Everlasting Pastor. And the Prince of peace. Peace in your home. Peace with your children. Peace in your family. Peace in your life. Peace in your business. These names are for sons who mature. And I pray that the time of your maturity will begin from today. Stand to your feet.
Oh, what a way. What a way. Hey. Wow.
Please close your eyes. Close your eyes. Today is a time for someone's salvation. Someone to be born. Calabrosa. Zugri, Magraga, Madulaba, Tikras Kudaba, Zegrege Mandush, Ai Badiazuma, Zondania, Oria Katusa. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Don't you say, Pastor?
Yes.
I want to be born again today. Give me, the Lord says I should read Isaiah 9, verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry for getting carried away. That's the person who is a sign of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end to your peace. Yes. A son, there's no end to his ministry. Upon the throne of David, you are likened to great people. Your leadership is linked to David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, of the increase of his government. I pray, Basenta leader, I pray, Pastor, I pray, regional head, that your kingdom will increase. Your government will increase.
Amen.
Ever increasing credentials. Ever increasing anointing.
Jesus.
We thought we saw the best of you last year.
Professor.
Look at what he's doing this year.
I receive.
We thought this girl had peaked with her singing.
Professor.
Look at what she's doing.
Kadabush.
Of the increase of his government. Anytime you build for God, peace is attached to it.
Kadabush.
Of the increase of his government and peace. They are together. You don't build for God. You don't govern the church. You don't lead anybody. Peace will not come to you. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Lift your two hands now and say a prayer for 30 seconds. 30 seconds. The Lord says, you are dry. Be careful.
Heal my heart, Lord.
Terebos Kabaya Nembra Moza Ayania Mazuba Baya Baba. Now please close your eyes and bow your head. You want to give your life to Jesus today? You want to be born again. You want to surrender to Jesus. Jesus. I'm talking Jesus, not Bishop. Jesus. You want to come to Jesus. 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 You want to come to Jesus. He will never hurt you. He will never harm you. You want to come to Jesus. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you right now. Yes, lift it high. Above your head. I want to pray for you. Pastor, I want Jesus. Lift it high. I see you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand high. High, high. Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
You cannot be sure when it's anybody else. But Jesus, you know to be well with you. You know you are surrendering to the lover of your soul. Lift your hands. Jesus. If your hand is up, I want you to come to me now. I want you to come. Yes, come. Come. Come to me here. If you mean it.
Come running to the mercy.
Baby girl, come. Difference between these guys who are here and you who didn't come forward is that you are like a baby born and left on at the rubbish dump. You will never know Jesus alone. They don't come here to just pray. Even the prayer they're going to pray, most of them don't understand it. They have come here to be received into the church and cared for. So I'm surprised you've allowed the devil to prevent you from stepping forward. I'm surprised. It surprises me. It's wonderful to me. But you are a lady. The best lover of your life is Jesus. What a Sunday church service. You want to come? 2 seconds. Come now. Who will joke with these guys? Your judgment will be sudden. Sudden. Your wickedness. I wish that you hadn't extended it. To come to these ones and abandon them, that's too far. You've gone too far. That's a new low. I wish you would just be there with your wickedness. But to extend it to these guys, I wonder if you love your children. Anybody today's service who steps forward to receive these guys should be careful. Should be careful. To come and stand here with a heart that is not interested. You show school of the word to receive converts. So even as I can be afraid, hey, we don't know. There were schools in the church. Let me run away. School? I didn't pass commands. Which school again? See, your bishop is even weeping. Your bishop is weeping. That's a Christian I want to follow. Not you. You are too wicked to be brought in here. He's weeping. That's a Christian. He feels God's pain. Anybody who comes to stand here and place with this once again, from now on, there's judgment. There's judgment. Sudden judgment. The fooling has to end. Eusebius, I'm serving you a warning in a golden bowl. Eusebius. Better resign today, because a judgment has fallen. It's enough. We've had enough. It's enough. I want to welcome Bishop Kobe to pray with them. I like his heart. Pray with them. I'm standing here. I'm backing you all the way. I'm backing you all the way. I'm here.
Those of you in front, lift up your hands. Lift up your two hands. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Father.
Dear Father.
I have come to you today.
I have come to you today.
Just the way that I am.
Just the way that I am.
I know. That I am a sinner.
That I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Please wash me.
Please wash me.
With the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ.
With the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ.
And please write my name, Lord.
Please write my name.
In the book of life.
The book of life.
Say Satan.
Satan.
Say from today.
From today.
I will not follow you anymore.
I will not follow you anymore.
Say from today.
From today.
I will not serve you anymore.
I will not serve you anymore.
Say from today.
From today.
I will not obey you anymore.
I will not obey you anymore.
Say from today.
From today.
I turn away from you, Satan.
I turn away from you, Satan.
And I turn to Jesus Christ.
I turn to Jesus Christ.
Say Jesus is now my Lord.
Jesus is now my Lord.
Jesus is now my Master.
Jesus is now my Master.
And I will serve him forever.
And I'll serve him forever.
Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Those of you in front, listen to me. This is just the beginning of a long journey. Can you hear what I'm saying? It's the beginning of a long journey. That's what Bishop said. Somebody will care for you. Somebody's going to teach you how to read your Bible. Somebody's going to teach you how to... If in a month's time, you are not learning anything, come back to me in the church. When we close church, come to me and say, you told me that I'll be taught to read my Bible. Nobody has taught me. You told me that I'll be taught to pray. Nobody has taught me. Come back to me. If nobody's teaching you, come back to me. I mean, after church, any day after church, just walk up to me. Because you now need to learn how to read your Bible. Learn how to pray. Would you like to learn how to pray? Yeah. One day you will also preach and take care of others. Yeah. So you have begun a beautiful journey. But you know the good thing? God is turning your life around. Where there was darkness, he's now introducing light. You will see, even when people see you, they realize that something in your life has changed. Yeah. Something in your life has changed. God is going to give you what no man can give you. God is going to give you what money cannot buy. You know, in the night, we don't all sleep the same way. Some sleep well, others don't. That is peace in your heart. It passes human understanding. And God has received you today, and you are going to begin to experience supernatural things. Supernatural things. I also did this many years ago. Many years ago, I was a 15-year-old boy. Are you excited that you have become born again today? Yeah. Who's receiving them? You see, there are two lady pastors here.
Mm.
Go with them. I said, if they don't teach you to read the Bible, do what, sir? Do what? If they don't teach you how to read the Bible, what have I told you to do? Come back to me. Do you understand? Yeah. If they don't teach you how to read your Bible, they don't teach you how to pray, they don't teach you how to listen to messages, come back to me. Give them 2 weeks. Come back to me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So please go with them. Go with them. These ladies, come. This way, please. Go with them. God bless you. Clap your hands for them. Go with them. Your hand clap should be much louder. Even angels are celebrating. Take out your communion.
Take it, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was poured out for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood.
Listen to me. I keep saying that my appreciation of the communion chain, the day Bishop taught us that the primary reason for the communion is to remember Jesus Christ. I'm not able to turn away from that thing. The primary reason for the communion is to remember Jesus Christ. And today, as you eat the communion, I want you to remember the reason why Jesus Christ came to die. The reason why Jesus Christ came to die. He came to die for the sins of men. Not for your sins alone. Not for your sins alone. Not for my sins alone. He came to die for the sins of all humanity. And you and I now need to send that message out to somebody. Today, as you are eating the communion, I want you to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And ask God to forgive you for treating that sacrifice lightly. The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Eat it. The blood of Jesus Christ. He spilt it so that your sins, your mistakes will be erased. Today, as we drink the blood, we are asking that, Lord, have mercy on us.
Have mercy.
Have mercy on us.
Yes.
Erase our mistakes.
Oh, yes.
Erase our mistakes, Lord.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Drink it. Lift up your two hands. Everybody, lift up your hands. Your mistakes are being erased.
Amen.
By the only thing that can erase sins, Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ.
Huh?
Your mistakes are being erased.
Amen.
Your mistakes are being erased.
Amen.
Mercy is being given to you.
Amen.
To remove you from the pathway of a terrible curse. My goodness. Oh, today's message is a redemption message.
Mm.
Oh, yes. To warn us, to redeem us, to deliver us from the curses that we are walking into. May the blood of Jesus erase your mistakes.
Amen.
Erase your mistakes. Amen. Father, we thank you for your body and for your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Clap your hands.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Mackinac Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.